Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents.
This is Corey Burton, the voice of the El Rey Network. And the Haunted Mansion Holidays, and of course Captain Hook, and many others. And you're listening to the Creepy Kingdom Podcast.
And welcome to episode 86 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast. A podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And happy 2016! In this episode, we are going to give a little preview of the potentially creepy things coming to the stateside Disney parks in 2016. So without any further ado, let's begin. Hey, everybody. I'm here with the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hey, everyone. So there's some cool stuff opening up in the parks in 2016, or this year, because this is going to be in 2016. But there's also a bunch of stuff, especially at Disneyland, closing. So maybe we talk about the closing, and then we'll talk about the new stuff?
Yeah, closing and also being shut down for long periods of time.
Yes. I mean, the little things, you know, you guys can look it up yourselves. You'll know, you know, if it's closed for 5 days for a silly refurb. We'll talk about, like, the long closures. We shall start in the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, there's only a few small refurbs. We'll talk about this when we get into new stuff, but Soarin' is going to go down.
Yeah, Big Thunder in Disney and Magic Kingdom is going to be down for 3 months. So maybe they're going to be doing those sweet updates that are in Disneyland.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be cool.
I find it very interesting that the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse.
Yes. Is the treehouse closing for 3 months?
Oh, man, I can't wait for that refurb.
People, that's really going to upset people that Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse is closing for 3 months. Maybe it'll turn into Tarzan.
I want to pull. I mean, I love Swiss Family Robinson, the movie, when I was a kid. I haven't seen it recently. I want to see a poll of people going into the park who know what the Swiss Family Robinson is.
Yeah. Right?
Like, let's get a percentage on that. Like, what do you think? 2% at most. Just because they were alive when it came out. Like,
yeah, talk about an attraction that needs a refurb that they could just close down and no one would notice. But maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe that's what that 3 months is they're going to redo it. Also for 3 months, if you happen to be, oh, hold on. I got a problem here. Okay. There we go. If you happen to be planning a Disney World vacation in the beginning of 2016, you should know that in the first 3 months from January until like March, Typhoon Lagoon is going to be closed.
Yeah. I think the water park's closed that whole time. Usually,
yeah.
Right?
Like, that's 3 months. Water park will be closed. But Blizzard Beach will still be open.
Oh, well, my bad. Yeah. All right.
So there.
But I don't know. I don't go to water parks anywhere. But yeah, no Typhoon Lagoon for you early this year.
No Typhoon Lagoon. All right. Well, Disney World, not a whole lot.
Not too
going
much.
Down this year.
Well, we have the closure of the Pizza Planet Arcade, which is really a loss that we're going to be trying to work through. I mean, that's going to be tough. I know that when I spend $100 to go someplace, I like to spend at least 2 to 3 hours putting quarters into
yeah.
machines to play video games. You know, so that's really going to take a dent out of my tear.
If that hurts your feelings, then you should also know that in Magic Kingdom, the Tomorrowland arcade is gone.
It's gone.
Just gone.
I know. I mean, that was woo.
Gone.
We're still recovering for the hit
we are.
From that
we're still
one.
Feeling it. We're still feeling that one.
Yeah, I still never understood that at all. Like, even when I was a kid, I remember they used to have the arcade at Disneyland, which is long gone, and it was above Star Traders.
Yep.
And I would be like, "What are you doing?" Because I didn't Star Traders exit up there. Like, you had to go through the arcade. I feel like it did.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not even sure I ever went to that arcade. I'm not a video game person at all, but like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't remember going to it, but I remember having to pass by it is what I'm saying. Because I can't think of the reason I would go. I remember being upstairs to go to it. I feel like it was. I feel like it maybe had to exit that way. And I always was thinking there were people in there just like, what are you doing? There's all these rides out here.
You know you're at Disneyland. Like, I think the only time I can ever say that I played a video game at Disneyland is when Wreck-It Ralph came out and they had the character meet and greet in the Starcade. And they had the video games there.
Right. Like, well, that's special. Yeah, I mean.
You know, but yeah, it was special. I put a quarter in and played a game. I moved on. Like,
well, didn't they have Electronica? When they had that DCA,
they had
Flynn's Arcade there.
They had Flynn's Arcade.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool. I wouldn't spend too much time there, but it'd be especially, if you enjoyed the movie.
I was forced to spend time in Flynn's Arcade because I have a lot of friends who are video game nerds, and Flynn's Arcade only had 80s arcade games.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool. You know, it had all of the old games. They got a bunch of old games and put them in there, and That was pretty cool, but you know, I lost interest after like two games in Miss Pac-Man. There is something else that closed at Walt Disney World this year that I think we should talk about. It closed earlier in the year, but it's gone for good. And I know I'm upset about it, and I know that you are really upset about it, and I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that are really upset about it. It's at Animal Kingdom, the Dinoland Dance-a-Palooza. It's gone. Okay, you guys. I feel like we should have a moment of silence.
I mean, that attraction question mark is the whole reason I started this show. I don't even know what that is.
Right?
I never even heard of it before. I think that's where they roll up. It was like a Streetmosphere experience. Yeah,
yeah
they roll
yeah,
up.
Yeah. It's like the thing in Cars Land where a DJ comes out.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what that was. If it wasn't, then I don't know.
Although not being sarcastic at all, we are losing something at Disney World this year that actually really does suck. The Osborne lights.
Yeah, I've never seen that. I've never been there during the holidays, but I love Christmas lights. So,
it was amazing. We were supposed to go to Disney World this year, but because we moved this year, we decided to push the the trip off to next year, so we're going to go in 2016. We were going to go at Christmas time because our favorite time in Disney World is at Christmas time. When we found out that the Osborne lights were leaving, we were like literally upset that we didn't go this year because it would be our last chance to see them.
Right. Yeah. They didn't give too much warning on that.
No, they really didn't. If they had, we probably would have gone this year. We would have made it happen because they're really cool.
I've heard rumblings that I don't think the Osborne lights as the Osborne family lights, but that something will return. But I think this is all part of Star Wars Land construction, and why that is not at least coming back next year. Or so.
Right on. Well, hopefully they'll bring something back. They were super cool. They were just beautiful.
The last thing that we lost this year was that I want to bring up in Disney World is. Was the return of Captain EO.
It's goodbye, Captain EO.
I will say that I love watching this movie. I mean, we did an episode on it in the past, not you and I, but the Creepy Kingdom. And there's a lot to enjoy in this film. I mean, but it's certainly, I wish I could have watched it in the theater one more time. I guess I'll say that, but that didn't happen because they closed it in Disneyland before I got here, and it was nothing was in there for the whole time until a month ago when they put the Path of the Jedi film in, and I believe it just closed very recently, on December 7th in Epcot. And I think when I heard some kind of Pixar film festival is going in there, I'm not sure what that is, but the rumor I heard long term is that they want to make it into an Inside Out attraction. Or 3D
that'd
film.
Be cool.
So, hello. Kitty. just Rocks just changed the camera on me.
You wanted to say hi. I don't know. I was a big Captain EO fan when I was little, when it was originally in Disneyland. So when they brought it back, I was excited. I watched it a couple times. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah, I love Angelica Houston, so she's pretty awesome in it.
It was a nice little nostalgia thing.
So moving over to Disneyland, they're really shaking things up a little bit over here.
Man, yeah. You know why nothing is really closing in Walt Disney World? Because everything is closing in Disneyland. The list is just ridiculous. All right, let's see. So if we're talking about things that are going to close for, like, let's go 3 months or longer.
Yeah.
It seems like a season or longer.
Yeah.
Autopia.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that has to do with anything, but it's closing for...
I don't know. It's going down for, 3 months. The Explorer, Davy Crocker's Explorer Canoes, but,
Well, pretty much, everything related to the Rivers of America is going to be closed for... a year and 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's got the Explorer Canoes, the Sailing Ship Columbia, Mark Twain Riverboat, Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer Island, Fantasmic, that's where the Fantasmic show is.
Mm-hmm. All of the train stations.
Yeah, and in addition to that, that's all separate conversations. The train going down in Disneyland, for me personally, is huge. Because I use that train all the time. It's not like a novelty. It's logistic.
It is. I totally agree. Especially in the later part of the day.
Like I said, these crowds have been out of control, and it always comes through. The train is the logistics of the train and where it takes you and what you have to do is perfect. I've never used it logistically at Magic Kingdom, but in Disneyland I use it at least half the times that I go. Like, I usually end up the train.
Heaven forbid you're in Tomorrowland and it's fireworks Fantasmic time and you want to go on the Haunted Mansion. Okay.
Oh, you can't get over there.
Have the train running. You have to take the train.
You can't walk over
there. It will take you 3 hours to get there.
And also, you don't know this because you haven't been there, but since Seasons of the Force has opened up early December, Tomorrowland is just sardined with people. So that would even make it even worse. I know Tomorrowland used to be quite a wasteland, but it is just sardined. They actually have cast member there at all times directing the flow of traffic of people walking, because that's how crazy it is over there. So
thank you.
But yeah, no. So I'm kind of bummed about the trains being down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, let's see what else. I think other than the normal, you know, taking down the holiday stuff, refurbs. I think that's it for Disneyland. Just anything having to do with Rivers of America or where the new Star Wars land is going to be. And
well, of course, there's Big Thunder Ranch is closing, which includes the barbecue and the goats. I had my last meal there this past week.
And once upon a time, you know me, you know I love food, and you know when it comes to Disney, one of my favorite things to do is eat, especially like at Disney World, but Disneyland too. Once upon a time, the news of Big Thunder Barbecue closing would have really upset me, but now I don't care. So, well, whatever.
Lucky for you.
I know.
No, I mean, it's good. It's not one of them. I'm not sad about it.
Close all the restaurants so I don't have to feel bad.
Because you can't eat there anymore? Is that what it is?
That's right. Yeah. I can't eat there, so they should close them all. All
right.
Then I will feel bad. All right. California Adventure?
Yeah, I mean, we have a big one coming up, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. And that's really about it. I mean, just regular refurbs.
Yeah. Oh, the character close-up in the animation building is reopening. That's been down, like, all year.
Oh, I've never even experienced that. I don't even know what that is. Is it?
Yeah, there's the animation building in the past year it's been a little wonky. Like, it's been kind of funky for a while. You couldn't even enter through the main. You had to, like, enter through the back. And, like, they've just been doing all this stuff in there, so I guess it'll be done like this month in January, so that's cool.
Is this a meet and greet or is this something else?
It's so you've been in the animation building, right?
Yes, I just haven't done this character close-up thing, obviously.
Okay. Yeah it's like a meet and greet, but the characters constantly swap out, so you're never sure who you're gonna get.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's, you know, who knows what it'll be now that they're reopening it or how they'll have it set up. Or
I mean, if they had it closed for a year, I mean, it better be pretty spectacular.
Right? Like
spectacular. That was the word I just said.
I like it. Spectacular.
Wow.
Oh, it reminds me of the Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's like a charm.
Yeah. Ooh, I like it.
Spectacular. I'm with us.
Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's see here. So, yeah, Big Thunder Ranch is closing because of Star Wars Land. Aladdin is closing, but we'll talk about that later. It's not so bad. Luigi's Flying Tires closed this year. We'll be talking about that later.
I wonder, we're gonna bring this up, the actual show, a little bit later, but currently there's a Frozen sing-along where Muppet Vision... The Muppet Vision building?
Yeah.
And I wonder if once the Frozen stage show comes, what is to become of the Muppet Vision? Will Muppet Vision return? Or will it
I don't know.
Be something? I mean, I'd have to imagine that it is, because they haven't announced or teased at anything else.
Yeah. I hope whatever goes into the Muppet Vision building, I hope it's something new.
It's not going to. I don't think it's going to be new. They haven't announced or teased it anything.
But even if it's the Muppets, you know, even if they bring back the Muppets, I'm okay with that. I just hope it's a new show, a new movie.
There's no way.
You know?
We would have heard. I mean, we would have heard of that.
It's so dated, though. Yeah, it's like Soren.
It is dated, but I would just say that we haven't heard anything about that at all in any possible way. Like, I don't know, unless they're really about to drop some bombshells on us, which I don't, like, out of nowhere. I feel like they would promote that, especially with the Muppets TV show right now that they have going on, that they would have teased at that or something.
I don't know. Maybe they were waiting to see how well the Muppets TV show did. You know, the last movie that came out didn't do all that good. Maybe they were hoping that the TV show, you know, would spark people's interest in the Muppets again. And like,
I don't know if it did or not. I think it just kind of reached to the people that already like the Muppets. I don't know.
Yeah.
it's an interesting show.
It's all right.
It's amusing. I don't know. Only time will tell. But let's talk about what we do know is coming this year.
Woo! Let's do it. 2016. Woohoo!
Let's see. Walt Disney World has 3 new things coming in 2016. No official dates on any of these things. The first thing, which I'm sure, as I realize, it kind of parallels something that's going to be opening up in DCA this year, and I'm sure I'm going to have similar things to say about it. But the first thing that is supposed to be in spring 2016, which we all know is whatever the last date of spring is, that's when it's opening up, is Frozen Ever After. This is replacing Maelstrom in Epcot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is opening.
Cool.
So a lot of controversy closing Maelstrom. People have some attachments to it.
Nobody had any attachments to that ride till they said they were closing it down and replacing it with Frozen. Please.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Sorry. Oh, was that out loud? No one gave a crap about that ride.
Well, no.
He has come this way before. Like, no one gave a crap about Maelstrom until they announced that they were closing it. And then all of a sudden, it was my favorite ride.
All right. This topic's been beaten to death. We'll move on for the Maelstrom close. I'm not even going to talk about it. So what are your thoughts on this Frozen Ever After attraction from what you know about it?
Can't wait to ride it. I'm down for new attractions. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always happy to have a new attraction because it's something different to do. You know, sure. if Disneyland, Walt said Disneyland is always changing, and if it wasn't always changing, we'd get bored. Like, you know, we go all the time. Like, even with Disney World, you know, I lived there for a while, and then I used to go every year. But it's nice to go and have new things that you've never experienced before.
Sure. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I guess my reaction to this, I'm just going to kind of, I don't know if I really said this on the show or not, but I'll just make it, you know, and I'm kind of Frozen neutral because I think that the Frozen, you know, it's pretty split. It's either people like really love it or people just really can't stand it. You know, I'm just kind of like, I'm like, it's all right. Like the movie, I mean, as the oversaturation of the franchise, I'm definitely not interested in. Like, that's really uninteresting to me. I guess, I mean, like you said, something new. I definitely want to, right now, Imagineering the past 5 years or whatever, every new thing, which has not been that many things, but every new thing that they put out, it's top notch. It's like, it's like almost like a new golden age of Imagineering. I mean,
everything they make is beautiful, and
it's just top notch. I mean, just last night I was on Radiator Springs Racers in Cars Land, and I was just really just sitting there thinking, I'm like, everything about this attraction is top notch. Like, it's like everything from the minor detail of that after the ride's over when you're waiting to get off, that there's sound of like motors. Like of a motor being idle as you're waiting to move, and then when you move it revs up like it's so not needed. Like, you know, it's definitely need to do like these little touches are just, I'm just like, everything they're doing is just you know, so I know that. And what else, again, it's really kind of sad there hasn't been that many new things, but Enchanted Tales of Belle, that's in Walt Disney World. I know you haven't experienced that yet, Roxy, but and it's, you know, Hmm? Are you familiar with Distraction?
Oh, that's in the New Fantasyland.
Yeah, it's a New Fantasyland, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, overall, it's, you know, kind of childish or whatever, but the effects in that attraction are incredible. Like, like if anyone has experienced, they know that somehow a mirror turns into a doorway right in front of your eyes.
You know? It really is kind of, remember, you know how they call the 90s the renaissance of Disney movies?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be known as the renaissance of Disney attractions. You know, everything that they're doing is ridiculous. Look at Alice in Disneyland.
Yeah. It's funny enough. That was the last attraction I rode last night when I was in the park. And I just literally sat there and I thought about it. I was like, the animation that they added to that attraction. Like, it's such a subtle, like, easy thing, but it's incredible. And I was really I was specifically just looking at all the animation and, you know, everywhere and really just kind of taking it all in on that ride through. And it's just like, you know, it's such amazing plussing. I can't even imagine how that would be incorporated into the other Fantasyland dark rides. I can't wait. I mean, obviously, it was a little bit in Peter Pan.
Yeah, but
it's not to the extent that they did it for Alice. Alice was
no, incredible. It's definitely not. Peter Pan was actually kind of a letdown this year. I was a little letdown, but especially after Alice. Alice was amazing.
Yeah, that set quite a precedent.
But no, I agree with you on the whole Frozen thing. I'm Frozen neutral. When the movie first came out, I saw it twice in one day. I saw it with my son. Yeah, I saw it with my son. Non-3D, and then I saw it again without him right afterwards because his dad took him in 3D because I really liked it. I thought it was an awesome movie, and now I really don't care. Like, it's been thrown at us so much, but I'm still excited for the ride because, you know, like we were just talking about, it's going to be amazing. It doesn't matter what theme it is. It could be Frozen. It could be Ever After themed. Like, I...
Ever After, that'd be awesome. I wish that was the ride opening up.
It'll look amazing no matter what. So
yeah, I definitely want to ride it and experience it. I'm not trying to say I'm into it. Not going to do that. I am going to do it at some point. I feel that it's like retrofitting it into Maelstrom is not the best choice, especially like this franchise is huge and I feel like it deserves something more than that.
I feel like Norway needed some attention. Like, poor Norway. Okay, it gets no love at all. It's one of those places in the World Showcase that really doesn't get a lot of love. You know, I was surprised when I went back after, you know, I lived there for a while and then I went back. I was really surprised that the restaurant in there did a princess like meal. Because they didn't used to do that. It wasn't – I was like, oh, obviously they had to put princesses in Norway to get some people to go to Norway. Like,
well, you know.
And now they, you know, they're like, where can we put this Frozen ride? Well, we really could use people to go to this place.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, they could have done Maelstrom, the Adventures Continue. I don't know, whatever. But this is going to be – Like from a logistical standpoint, this is going to be a complete nightmare. That area cannot hold the amount of people that are – plus there's a meet and greet also that's added to the area as well. Cannot hold the amount of people that are going to be there. The whole FastPass Plus crap that I hate that's going on there, like it's almost going to be completely impossible to ride it because only resort guests that are going to be able to book their FastPass Plus is 60 days in advance. And they're all going to be used up, like, unless they have some other plan of action. Like, if you just go to the park, even if you wanted to wait in standby, which I wouldn't because I'm sure it'd be like 3+ hours, you probably can't even do that because it's probably going to be like it seems like it'd be a nightmare. I'm not sure they're going to pull this off.
I don't know, but they are Disney, so they might have a plan.
Yeah, sometimes they don't. Yeah.
Sometimes they don't. That is for sure. But yeah. We'll hope. We will hope that they have learned their lesson from the Anna and Elsa meet and greets being so crazy that they are working round the clock on how they're going to fix.
Round the clock.
That's right. I like to believe that because it's Disney and I believe in their Disney magic, that they have a team of people. It's a small team. It's like 3-4 people, whatever, working round the clock trying to figure out the crowd concern problems with Frozen Ever After.
I'm sure they are. Well, hello there, Roxy.
Hi there, James.
Did you know that the Dark Side of Disney documentary is still having more screenings across this great United States of America?
They are. Where's the next one?
Well, the next one is going to take place in Boston, Massachusetts.
Man, I wish I could go to Boston, Massachusetts and see the Dark Side of Disney documentary again.
Well, you're in luck because you have time to figure out your travel arrangements, because January 30th, 2016, it will be screening at the Aeronaut Brewing Company.
How much does it cost to go?
Well, I'm really happy to tell you that this cost to see this screening is absolutely nothing. That's right, this screening is free.
Free?
Free.
Wow. Philip Smith, who made the movie, as we know, his wife, Katie, and one of the directors of photography on the film, Zach Lennon-Simon, will all be there. And it's free?
And it's free.
So if I did want to go to Boston, Massachusetts, or if I'm anywhere near Boston, Massachusetts, tell me again, where is this going to be at and when?
It's at the Aeronaut Brewing Company on January 30th, 2016 at 6 p.m. sharp.
Woo!
Well, we'll move on from this, and I'll just hop to this just so that we could kind of wrap up this Frozen conversation. Because also coming in 2016 at some point is a new Frozen stage show, which will be replacing the long-running Aladdin stage show at Disney California Adventure at Disneyland.
Ooh, talk about controversy.
Yeah, just because this is fresh, this news, it may be fresh on your mind, but I mean, I would say it was pretty much the same reaction when they did it, when they announced Maelstrom last year.
Like, yes, it definitely was. The only difference, I think, is that, like, and maybe it's because, you know, I'm a West Coast girl and I go to Disneyland more, and I am underestimating the popularity of Maelstrom, but I don't think so. I have never waited in line to go on Maelstrom. Okay. Ever. It has been walk on every time I have ever ridden it. Like, there's nobody there. Aladdin, on the other hand, every show is full.
Yeah.
You know, every show is full. People see it over and over and over. Like, I know people that will catch every show in a day sometimes. They have friends that are in the cast, you know, like.
Every show in a day. Wow.
Right? Like, I understand more the upset about Aladdin because its popularity isn't really waning.
Not at all.
If it was, if the theater was half empty all the time, you know, or there were 20 people in the audience and they were like, we're replacing the show, and thousands of people got mad, I'd be like, okay, you guys are just hopping on this bandwagon. But no, it's always full. Mm-hmm. Like, the show is not any less popular than it was when it first came out. So it was kind of a surprise. On the other hand, I've wanted them to replace Aladdin for quite a while. So,
well, let's
not very popular for that opinion.
Well, I mean, it's been there for a long time, but the show is, it's top notch. It's incredible.
It is.
You know, and I mean, just because you want, I mean, the want of something new is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I don't fault you for that.
Thank you. I've been yelled at online for saying that I've wanted Aladdin replaced for a long time. People accusing me of being a horrible person, but it's not that I don't like the Aladdin show. I like the Aladdin show, but again, I'd like something new. And the shows that they have on, like, the cruise lines, you know, are good. Like, I'd love to see one of those, like the Cinderella show.
I haven't heard of that. I've only heard of the Toy Story one, which I heard was bad.
Yeah, there's a Cinderella show on the cruise line that's really, really cool. And there was a rumor that they were testing it on the cruise line to see if they were going to bring it to the parks to either replace Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast.
In Hollywood Studios.
In Hollywood Studios. But, of course, that didn't happen. The Toy Story one, there was a big thing a few years ago about how the Aladdin was going to go away and it was going to be replaced with this Toy Story show. And
That's I think that's what I heard. That, and then the it went so poorly, whatever that means, yeah, on the cruise ship, that they canceled it.
Yep, and now they're going to replace it with Frozen. I think one of the biggest problems is that they're replacing it with Frozen. People are so tired of Frozen.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what the problem here is. I mean, Aladdin's a great show, but yeah, people are tired of it, and it's a tough thing because the reality of the situation is that this is going to pack in the day guests, the families, you know, the Frozen show. Like, this is gonna be like Cars Land again for DCA.
Yeah,
yeah. People are gonna go just to go to the show. Like,
I have wanted a new show for years. You know, I love Aladdin, but there's only so many times I can watch it. I'm sorry. Like, I want something new. But I might see Frozen once a couple years from now when the crowds die down. You know, I'm not excited about it. Like.
Now, I will say, to put some little bit of positivity on this, because of the level of quality of production of the Aladdin show, I would be interested to see how they do a Frozen show. You know, and maybe Olaf's character will be kind of like the genie, you know, bringing the obviously humor, but being topical and you know, something of that matter. So I would be interested to see how they pull it off. Again, it's for the same reason I'm interested to ride the ride.
Yeah. one of the best things about the Aladdin show, though, is the genie. Mm-hmm. You know, hands down.
Yeah.
He is one of the main reasons to see it over and over again. And not only because he's super funny and he's a great actor, you know, the guy that plays him, but because they let him talk to the audience and bring in, you know, modern stuff. And he talks about what's going on in the day and even what's going on in the news and stuff like that. And I hope that they keep that with the Frozen show.
I would think Olaf would play that role.
Yeah. I think that'd be awesome.
So, we don't have a date on this, but summer, I'm looking it up now, summer. So on September 1st, or August 29th, I'm sorry, get ready for this. This thing to drop.
So then there's one more at Disney World, right? Over at Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
One more new?
Oh, no. Actually, there's two more at Disney World. Oh. I just skipped to the Disneyland one just so we could conclude talking about Frozen.
got it.
So heading back east, and actually it's coming to both parks, so I guess that doesn't work for whatever. But Soarin' is getting a major update to Soarin' Around the World.
It's about time. I'm sorry. I like Soarin'. It's another one of those ones that I like it. If the line is short, I'll definitely go on it. But there's only so many times you can fly around California before you're like, all right, new movie. Like, and the upgrade they did this year on the theater and the equipment and stuff, it's amazing. Like, it looked so much better, you know? But the movie was still old. They remastered it, but it was still old. So you've got this ridiculously high-tech equipment now that looks beautiful and this old movie.
Right. Well, let's take a few steps back here about Soarin'. I mean, Soarin' has a completely different dynamic on each coast. In Epcot, it is a headliner attraction. There is a minimum of 2 hours wait all the time. It is almost impossible to get on. I mean,
I have a confession.
What's that?
I've never watched it at Epcot.
Well, it's fine. Well, I mean, like I said, it's a two-hour wait.
I live here. I don't need to. I was actually, the first time I went to Epcot after Soarin' opened, I was super excited because it wasn't called Soarin'. In California, it's called Soaring Over California. Mm. In Epcot, it's just called Soarin'. And I thought it was a different movie. And I was super excited. So we went to go get in line, and I asked the cast member that was standing there, and she's like, no, it's over California. It's the same movie. And I was like, we are out of here.
Well, imagine if you had waited in that line and then
I'd be pissed.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first time I rode Soarin' of any coast was in Epcot, and I remember, you know, I remember riding it and just thinking, like, these are really interesting landscapes that I don't know. I'm just like, it didn't seem like we're flying over Florida. We're soaring over Florida. And the main thing that always stood out to me just right away was at the end when they fly over Disneyland. So I was like, that's, I mean, even if you're not really paying attention, that's clearly not Cinderella's castle.
No, it's clearly Sleeping Beauty's castle. It's also clearly Christmas
it's
time.
Christmas,
and it's also clearly Christmas time in the 1990s. You know, there's not even snow on the castle. Like, update. Even if they had just updated that last one every few years, you know. Oh, it's ridiculous. Michael Eisner is still playing golf.
Oh, yeah.
In the movie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they just kind of set it and forget it. Well, I don't know what that infomercial is. That's all they did with that. They set it up. They're like, this is it. So, but now they're doing Song Around the World, which makes a lot more sense for Epcot. We'll start with that.
Yes.
I don't know what sense it makes to DCA, but who cares? It's a new ride film that's coming at some point.
DCA doesn't make a whole lot of sense in DCA. So
yeah, they try though.
And they do, but over the years it has evolved into a better but not quite cohesive park.
Well, but all the new additions they've done, they've sort of, I've seen or read, like they try to like tie it together that it actually,
yes,
like it all works together. Like when Univista Street first opened, they had the paper that they put out.
Yeah, the bugle.
I don't know if they still do. I'm never there in the morning.
Yes, they do.
But I'd gotten a copy of the first one they put out, and then like for the Little Mermaid ride, they said, you know, on the boardwalk is a recreation of a tribute of the amazing tale of, like, so they literally are saying in that it's, you know, that this is like to tie it into the boardwalk, because otherwise it's got nothing to do with being on the boardwalk.
Yeah. No, I mean, they do. The problem started in the beginning. They should have never named the park California Adventure. The idea of a California themed park was just not the best thing you could have come up with. You know,
really.
And now they have to work with it. And I think they're doing really well with, you know, with what they've got, but you know, it's hard to work with.
Yeah. So we'll give them a pass on that. Soarin' in Epcot is closing within a few days of this recording and a little bit later this month in DCA.
Goodbye, Soarin', California.
So do you feel compelled, or you're sad you're not going to be able to write it again before it changes?
No, I'm good.
You're at peace with Soarin' over California.
Although I can't wait until it gets closer and all of the people come out and start arguing about how awesome a ride Soarin' is and how it's their favorite and how it shouldn't be changed.
No one has said this. I mean, if they were closing it, you would hear some of that. But changing the film, I can't think that there's anyone. And if you're listening, you are. Certainly let us know.
Oh, yeah. Chime in.
But anyone that is upset about them changing the film in Soarin' after all these years.
Yeah. No. I'm excited for the new film. I can't wait to see it because I like Soarin'. As a ride, I like Soarin'. I'll still go on it even though I know I have the movie memorized. I can even point out the hidden Mickey in the golf ball. Okay. Like, so I like the ride. So I'm excited for the new one.
All right. Well, there's not too much I'll say about that.
Nope.
But probably not going to be creepy.
Probably not. No.
So there's that.
So far we've got nothing creepy.
Well, I mean.
Depending on your opinions on Frozen.
I mean, Frozen has the snow monster, right? I don't,
Marshmallow is not creepy.
Yeah, sort of, right? No, not creepy.
No.
Okay.
Especially not now that he's a mom. Like, no.
All right, Disney, you're failing us. The parks is scared.
Animal Kingdom. Tell me, because I don't know anything about this. Tell me about Animal Kingdom, James.
Okay. Well, Animal Kingdom is a park in Walt Disney World.
Oh, you're funny. No. The new attraction.
Mostly boring.
I love Animal Kingdom. Tell me about the new attraction,
very, very,
James.
Very greatly detailed, but not too much to do. In my opinion. I mean, as I'm saying, Everest, dinosaur, tough to be a bug, and I'm out. So, but you want to know about Rivers of Light. So, coming at some point, I think the last thing that date I heard, or year I heard, was 2017, is the Pandora, the World of Avatar. That's, for, you know, from what I've seen of that, I did get to see a scale model of that this year at D23, and a little bit of a preview. Again, not that excited about the intellectual property, but it does look pretty incredible. But I guess to get us all ready for something new at Animal Kingdom, because there really has not been that much new since the park opened.
No, there really hasn't.
And also, part of Pandora is, if anyone's seen Avatar, they know that it looks really pretty, because the plants light up.
So you're telling me that I'm really going to like it, because it looks really pretty.
It's really pretty, yeah. I don't know. I mean, have you seen Avatar?
Kind of.
Have you seen the glowing plants?
I have seen the last, like, half hour of Avatar.
I'd imagine that the glowing plants were the last half hour. I don't know. I only saw it once.
But, I don't know. It was the big. There was a big battle going on.
Oh, maybe you missed the plants. Anyways.
People dying and stuff. I don't know.
It definitely looks cool in the movie, and the idea of being in that environment for real is definitely appealing to me, so that's cool. But so the park's going to have to be open at night is the whole point of me bringing any of this up, which usually closes at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, Animal Kingdom closes heck early.
So they're going to have a lot of people staying in the park. And they've decided to add a nighttime show in the in one of the water, Discovery Island, on the river, Discovery River, between Discovery Island and Expedition Everest. There's going to be a show similar to World of Color.
I was just going to say, is it going to be similar to World of Color, or is it going to be similar to like the one they have at Epcot?
I believe it's World of Color is the point of reference. It's called Rivers of Light. So
cool. So do you know, are they gonna close the park and just have the show at nighttime, or are they going to, you know what I mean? You know how like World of Color right now, they have a show at the very end of the night.
Yeah, so everything else is closed. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know if that's what they're gonna do, or if they're actually gonna leave the park open and the stuff running? And
you know, I haven't heard any information on that, but it seems to me from what I heard that the park is gonna stay open. They do have, I don't know if it's running now, but I know that at some point in the past year or so, they had a nighttime version of the safari go a few times.
Interesting.
So, the safari I don't think is that interesting because you don't really see any animals, I don't know, in my experience.
Hey, I got charged by a rhino, okay? Wow. That was awesome.
Well, then you had a one-of-a-kind experience.
We have pictures. It's really, really cool. I think that the safari ride, it's the odds. You have to go on it a billion times and you can get one good story.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's
the more
what
you
it is.
Do
but
it.
No, I ask because I really want to ride Everest at night.
Yeah. I'd imagine that. Well, that's the other thing. I don't know. I mean, I imagine it'd be open, but a lot of discussion and conversations I've heard on other podcasts are that once this show is open, because it's right next to Everest.
Yeah.
I don't think when this show opens, when this show opens, I'm sure Everest will still be running. But the big conversation is that once Pandora opens, that they're finally going to close down Everest for the long-awaited refurb.
And fix the Yeti?
Because now they can't do that because there's no equivalent. There's no one would go
to the park.
That's a nice way to say that, but I was gonna say there's no Everest equivalent or anything to balance that out, you know? But if once Pandora's open, that'll be a huge shift on the other side of the park. It's supposed to be Pandora's supposed to be where Camp Minnie Mickey used to be.
Yeah.
So that'll be a huge shift. So maybe that'll happen, but I mean, who knows? I mean, these are all, I mean.
Have you ever seen the Yeti work?
I haven't. No.
I did.
Once? Wow.
I did once. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean the Yeti is scary. Like not working. Like I can't. Every time I ride it, and so just the scale. Not like because I'm really scared of the looks, but just the scale of something that looks like that's alive, like mm-hmm. driving past, like just kind of gives you chills. And just imagine that thing swiping down at me, like that.
Awesome.
Like that's scary.
I love that ride. And actually, the first time I ever rode that ride was the only time that the Yeti I've ever seen the Yeti work. So,
what year was that?
2009, 2008. No, I have no idea.
Well, the first time I rode was in 2009, and it wasn't working. So if it was working, I'm going to say that you saw it was 2008.
2008. It must have been. It was with Katie. I was with Cupcake Terror. It was the first time either of us had rode it. So we knew nothing about it. So we didn't know about the track. We didn't know about backwards. We didn't know about Yeti. We didn't know about anything. We just went on the ride. And, like, when we got off, it was, like, this life-changing experience.
Wow. With zero expectations? That would be you probably thought, like, this was kind of going to be, like, you know, it kind of looks like it's cross between Matterhorn and Big Thunder.
Yeah. That's what we thought. And, like, Matterhorn is Katie's favorite. So we were like, okay, cool, let's go on this ride, you know? The guy that we were with, Joe, we got off the ride. Katie and I were so pumped. I swear to God, both of us were just, like, shaking. Because it was so cool. The guy we were with, Joe, he actually took a knee on the ground. And we were like, let's go get it. He goes, go on without me. I'll meet you later.
Wow.
And so we did. We left him there literally sitting on the ground at the exit to Everest in the little shop. and we ran around and back through the
That's understandable.
I have fond memories of Everest.
I mean, I don't think I've left anyone behind, but I'm pretty sure I've done the same thing where I've gotten off Everest and then went back in the single rider line, of course, because that line can get pretty long. The regular standby.
No, we straight left him.
Man, you're just like, we got to do this again, huh?
Yeah, it was awesome. He was so good. Go on without me. I'll meet you.
What I find most interesting about this Rivers of Light show is that we're talking about Expedition Everest because that's how interesting this show is.
Wow, that's a good point. We don't know anything about it. How can we talk about it if we don't know anything about it?
I mean, you know, it's a light show. I mean, I'm sure if you're – I'm not – with me in these kind of shows, I like seeing them as I'm navigating through the park. I usually don't, like, set up shop and watch them. So that's – so I'm not, like, super excited about Rivers Light. I think it's cool, like, to have some visual thing look cool as you're going around. But I'm just not – I just don't really get – I'm like, all right, let me get here, like, 3 hours early and set up a little spot and blah, blah, blah.
We used to love doing the dining plan for World of Color when you could do it at Ariel's Grotto.
Mm-hmm.
So that dinner was during World of Color.
Right. That's
you
nice,
know,
yeah.
And, like, that was awesome. We have to eat dinner anyways. You know, we liked Ariel's Grotto. It was a nice sit-down restaurant. But to be able to sit down and eat and then for it to get dark and be able to see the whole show, this beautiful view, you know, by candlelight and while you're eating, that was awesome. I haven't sat down and watched World of Color since then, except from when we stay at the Grand. You know, they have a balcony that you can go out and a specific, like, viewing spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched it from there a couple times.
Well, those sound convenient.
Yes. I'm all for convenience in Disneyland. You know that.
So, yeah, that's, you know, I mean, that's just kind of how I am. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, like, I like walking by Fantasmic in Disneyland and seeing it, but I rarely sit there and watch it, you know. And so, I mean, it's cool. I'm sure it's not going to be creepy. Or maybe it is because it's just glowing lights in the dark.
Yeah, there could be creepy part. Fantasmic's got some, you know, a little creepiness to it. Like, I don't, World of Color and, you know. Yeah. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched World of Color. Like,
well, I'm pretty sure that this is the first and last time we're going to be talking about Rivers of Light on this show. So, but just be excited. That's something new that's coming to the parks this year.
Woo!
And I guess we got the last thing here coming to the parks at Disneyland is Luigi's Rollicking Roadsters. This is replacing Luigi's Flying Tires, which I never,
it was a fun ride when you got the hang of it.
I never got to ride it, so I did appreciate that it was a tribute to an old Disneyland attraction, mm-hmm. the Flying Saucers, so that's kind of cool. But not too much information has come out about this kind of refurb change to the Flying Tires.
Yeah, it's going to be a spinny ride.
But like that's... The only information that of really interest is that it is going to be a trackless ride system. It is the first trackless ride system in a U.S. Disney park. And so I think that's pretty exciting. I've never experienced a trackless ride system. I'm pretty sure, let me try to think of the places they have it. Mystic Manor in Hong Kong Disneyland, their amazing Haunted Mansion-like attraction. The Ratatouille ride in Paris, and I think in Pooh's Honey Hunt is in one of the Asia parks. I think those are the only ones, and I've never even experienced that at all, like on any park or anywhere. Like,
yeah,
we've kind of lived our lives with, well, wonder where we're going next. Just look ahead. And there's the track. So I wonder what kind of, I mean, not that, I don't think it's going to be scary, but just kind of like, wow, what is happening? Like, where are we going?
Do you remember when Tower of Terror first opened at Hollywood Studios? And it had the part where you, like, you left the, you know, it's got the dark ride part of it. You left the elevator and the thing goes through. And that's trackless, isn't it? Like...
Oh,
You know, when the elevator goes through, because it's not on the track. It's done by, like, magnets and computers or something like that.
Wow.
Because it leaves the drop track, and then it joins the drop track, right?
Yeah, spoiler alert for anyone that's never ridden that in Walt Disney World.
Whatever. It's been open for, like, 30 years.
30 years? It's not been open that long.
It hasn't been
only 20.
Only 20 years. It's a 20-year spoiler alert. No, but, like... That was really cool. To get to experience that was really cool, to know that you had left the track. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was a big deal. And then the fact that the drop was computerized and you could get all the different, you know, the 8 different, like, things, that was a big deal. So this, you know, this is like the next step of that. And I think it's going to be super cool that you have no idea where they're going to, you know, fling you next.
Yeah, it should be fun. I mean, I think Cars Land desperately needs it because, I mean, when I, you know, Cars Land is, you know, it needs another attraction, is basically what I'm saying. You know, because pretty much what happens around here in Southern California area is DCA could be like the slowest day. It could be dead. It could be 5-minute waits on everything. No matter what's going on, there's a minimum hour to 2-hour wait on Radiator Springs Racers.
And sometimes they close a single rider line. It's horrible.
I haven't experienced that yet, but that's the only way I go.
Word. That's the only way to go.
So it's, you know, it could use a little something else. I know they have Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, which... I've ridden once, and I could check that off on my list of things that I've done. Don't need to
actually,
do it
again. I like that ride. If there's no line, I'll totally go on it.
I just don't think it's a really fun ride, like the actual like ride element of it. Let alone, I'm not too excited about the music that's being played. But
when I was little, like my favorite ride at the boardwalk was called the Cool Whip, But it was one of those, it was one of those spinny rides that like the big circle spins and then a smaller one spins the other way. And then the cars on it spin the other way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And any ride like that, I've always really liked. And Mater's Junkyard Jamboree is that same concept where everything is spinning in different directions at, you know, the same time. And I really like that because I love getting like super dizzy, like nauseatingly dizzy.
All right. Well,
so yeah. But yes, I agree. It does. Cars Land definitely needs something else, and it needs something that is not Luigi's Flying Tires, because that poor, poor ride just never. People are dumb, you know. I mean, people in general. I'm not saying any of our listeners, because obviously everyone listens to our show is super smart.
Yeah.
But people in general are not smart. And anyone that works at a theme park can tell you that when the general public enters a theme park, their IQ falls like 10 or 20 points immediately. And Luigi's Flying Tires was one of those rides that you actually had to think in order to get it to do something. So it wasn't very popular because people would get on and be like, it's not going anywhere. It doesn't do anything. Like, also, it wasn't the best ride for bigger people.
Because
the heavier you are, the less it worked.
Oh, wow. Well, that's physics. But,
yeah.
but the thing, I mean, obviously the average, like, dumb, quote-unquote, person would just sit there. But I heard people even that, you know, of intelligence had issues trying to navigate, get the thing to work.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. It was a pain. But, like, I do not know anyone personally who couldn't get it to work.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Which I'm really happy to say. I'm very happy to say that I don't know anyone personally that couldn't get to work. But I do remember being on it quite a few times or walking by it and seeing people just sit there looking with this like stupid look on their face, not being able to figure out how to lean forward. Like, it's not – the last time we went on it, it was hella funny. There was this lady who was on it and she was yelling at the ride operator, at the cast member, that it was broken because it wasn't moving. And everyone was yelling at her, lean! You have to lean. You have to lean. And she was not getting broken. Oh my God. People.
Well, rest in peace to that. But so, yeah, I mean, that's a way to look forward to in the parks this year. Not a devastating year. There's going to be a lot of construction going on.
A lot of closures and a lot of construction.
So this is a transition year.
People should stay home.
Yeah, they won't.
I know. But that's my recommendation. My recommendation is that if you are planning a trip to Disneyland, you not plan your trip for 2016. You plan it for 2017.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to be there in 2017.
I don't want anybody to go this year. So okay. The park. What do you want from me, Jane?
I was like, I don't think anything's coming in 2017 either.
The parks have gotten ridiculously crowded in the past few years. Like, more so than, you know, I've had an annual pass for 15 years now. And in the past few years, I just can't believe there's no off season anymore. It's crazy.
Let's see. So I moved out here in August, and I believe between right now and August, I have a check-in app that checks in the places I go. I believe I've been 33 times, and I think maybe like, I'm not counting end of the night stuff, because obviously stuff, you know,
yeah,
it thins out at the end of the night. So, but other than that, I really can't recall a time that it wasn't crowded. Like, obviously, I've seen it. I mean, there's crowded. There's really, really crowded. I mean, there's different levels. But I can't recall a time when I got in there and was like, and I'm like, man, nobody's here.
No.
Like,
and it used to be, you know, I don't know, 5 years ago. I don't really know how many years ago. But a few years ago, there was a definite off season and peak season. You know? There was a huge difference between the two. And recently, in the past few years, it's just been getting more and more crowded all the time, no matter when it is. And it's like, man, come on, guys. Go home. Please.
So before we get out of here, actually, We're going to do a little listener email. I know we usually do this like at the very end of the show, but you know, I wanted to do this with Roxy here.
Yay! Right on. So we have an email to read.
Okay.
Some James,
listener feedback.
James just sent me this email. I have not read it, and so I'm going to read it and see what it has to say.
All right.
I don't know. I'm just rambling now. Okay. So we got a brand new email to read. Woo!
Woo!
This is from Robert. The subject is podcast, and he sent it yesterday. I found your podcast a couple weeks ago, and it sounded like it would be an awesome thing to listen to. I'm a huge Disney fan, and I love hearing about the behind-the-scenes stories and legends. If they're creepy, that's all the better. But to me, the podcast is unlistenable. The guests you have are good, but your nervous laugh after almost everything you say is annoying, as well as the uncomfortable pauses you have when you're interviewing someone. I've skipped around to some of the shows that would be of more interest to me, but even though the subject or guest is good, it's your annoying laugh that makes me turn it off. What a disappointment. Hopefully I'll be able to find another podcast with the same ideas of talking about the creepy side of Disney, but I'll pass on this one. Well.
Yeah, that was an email.
Robert. That is your real name. Well, let me tell you something, Robert. I happen to like James's annoying laugh. Okay? I mean, he's not wrong about your nervous laugh. You do have this nervous laugh that you do, like, all the time. But I don't think it's annoying. I think it's just you.
Well, first of all, Robert, thank you for your feedback. I have a lot of things to say about this email. I'll address my quote-unquote nervous laugh. It's not a nervous laugh because I'm not nervous.
It's just your laugh.
It's just
a James laugh, you guys. Come on.
I have absolutely nothing to be nervous about while recording this show, as when I'm talking to my friends about things that I like. And I also am the editor of the show, so it's not like this is going out live on television and I need to be nervous. I'm just hanging out, talking about creepy Disney stuff with my friends. And even when we have guests, you know, I'm not nervous then either. But I do laugh all the time. I think this is something you can attest to as someone that, you know, I spend time with. And
you guys, this is not an awkward podcast thing. James legitimately just laughs all the time. When you're on the phone, when you're with him in person, he's a really happy guy and he likes to laugh. Like, Robert, we're so sorry that you don't like people that are happy.
He doesn't like joy, no. So, and, you know, this I've been podcasting for a long time. This is not my first podcast. But I made the decision when I did this show what I wanted it to be, and I wanted it to be casual in tone, and I was going to be myself, and it was going to be me talking with people I'm friends with and having a good time. And even though the subject matter may not be necessarily funny, like, if there's things that we find funny and we joke around, like, that's what the show is going to be. It's not going to be like Vincent Price hosting the show. I'm not going to pretend to be all serious. So, you know, I could take it or leave it. I mean, I felt the need to respond to this since he was talking about me personally. Literally was saying, yeah, you have great ideas. This is a great idea for a show. Your guests are gay. I like everything about this except for you. Which, so I mean, I felt like I needed to respond to that. You know, like,
I agree. You know, like,
and you know, we don't always just respond to positive feedback. You know, it's not just, you know, but. What was the other thing I wanted to bring up here? Overall, I would like to say, I guess I must have really annoyed Robert to write this email, because I certainly listen to a lot of podcasts or try things out. And if somebody, I'm like, that person annoys me or they kind of bug me, I usually just stop listening to it.
Right?
I usually don't be like, all right, it's time to send it an email.
I need to sit down. I don't like your laugh. I've listened to you for 15 minutes. I don't like your podcast, but I feel the need to sit down and spend at least 15 minutes typing an email to you.
So
just stop. Just don't listen, dude.
Well, I will say, because of that, I feel, I'm like, that's great. me just being myself annoyed someone so much that they took time out of their day to write me an email. Tell me that means that I'm on the right track. Just me, you know, like, that's how I approach all the things that I do, whether any type of art that I do. Whenever I get, obviously I love positive feedback and people enjoying the things that I do, but when I get negative feedback, it's like, well, that's great, because at least I know that I've left an impact on right? someone doing what I love to do. And that's, what more can you really want when you
and,
do something?
Okay, you know, I'm just going to say that, you know, because we are, this is a podcast and our listeners are listening, I'm a little rude and I'm a little sarcastic to, you know, when we get negative emails and stuff like that. But that's because I'm oh God, I don't know what the word is. I'm a little overprotective. I'm overprotective of not only the show, but of my friend James. But that being said, if there is something about the show that you don't like or you think could be better and you legitimately have constructive criticism, we want to hear
it. Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, we really, really do. If there's something that we do that you just think, you know, if you did it like this, it could be 100 times better, please let us know. We will not, like, you know, dish you on air.
Berate you.
But if it's, you know, yeah. I won't read you the house down, okay? But like, writing in to say that James's laugh is annoying, like, that's not constructive criticism. That's just someone being rude. It is nice that you made such an impression on their life, though, that, like.
Yeah, I mean, that's an accomplishment. I mean, I've got pretty thick skin. I've been putting things out in the world for 20-plus years between being in bands and doing all these different things. And I've gotten a lot of haters in my day. And I've heard a lot and, you know, way ruder things said to me than this. So
right?
It's, my feelings were not hurt at all, especially because it's just me and I'm not going to change me. Like, I, you know, we could try different segments out. We could we could make the show shorter. We could do all these things. But one thing that's going to stay the same is I'm going to be me while doing the show.
No, obviously, even though this guy is not going to listen to us anymore, since you edit the show, you should edit out your laugh.
Yeah, every time I laugh.
Every time you laugh, it's got to go. It's got to go, James.
Yeah, so.
Don't laugh. I can see you want to laugh.
Well, and the last thing I want to say, though, is he said, hopefully I'll find another podcast with the same idea of talking about the creepy side of Disney. Well, Robert, I have some really sad, sad news for you.
Yeah.
This is it.
We're it.
The only thing that is even close to what we're doing here is the Doom Buggy Spook Show, which is a podcast about the Haunted Mansion. So, that's hosted by Jeff Bam. I don't think he laughs on the show, so you could possibly sit through it.
Cool.
So I will.
I will definitely listen to that if I want zero joy in my podcast.
We're not trying to hate on the
two. No, I'm not hating on him. I mean, if I don't want a happy, creepy podcast, if I want a creepy, creepy podcast.
Zero joy.
Yo, the podcast is awesome. Go check them out. I'm not dissing them. People shouldn't insult my friends.
So, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, like, you know, we're not just going to read positive feedback. You know, if we had some negative feedback, we'll share it on the show. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're just here talking about stuff we love and trying to entertain you while we do it.
Yep. And we hope that you like it. If you don't, write us an email.
Well, if you would like to contact the show, you can do so by emailing us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. If you'd like to check out any of our other podcasts, the Even James of Podcasts podcast, Curvy Cutie Chat, and Roxy's World, then just visit monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google Plus, Tumblr, and Pinterest. All you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com. And if you would like to support us here at the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, the way to do it is go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, until next time.
I have a going now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha